We have looked forward to being here tonight, and yet at the same time, it's always a little sad to be going away. I started to say going home because, to be perfectly honest, living in Brazil is home for us now. This is just a really nice place we come every once in a while to see our friends, and you are our friends. I'm going to use John chapter 15 tonight, verse 7, but we're not going to get there for a long time, so, you know, take your time. Preacher said get your Bible ready. Well, it'll be real ready. You know, I almost didn't come to this church. I'm going to wait a while till this thing gets warmed up, I hope. When you see a bird, Gary, wave your hand, all right? I almost didn't come to this church. I was at Bob Jones graduating, in fact, in graduate school, and a pastor that I had been with on Neighborhood Bible Time came to the Christian School Recruitment Conference and saw me there and said, oh, Graham, you've got to come. It was a large church, about 1,000, 1,500 in the Chicago area. And he said, what is your dream job? What would you rather? Thanks, Gary. Somebody has to tell me what to do. My wife's not up here. Good. I love her for that, too. I'm in trouble now. Anyway, he said, what's your dream job? What would you like to do? What would you rather do if you had your choice of any ministry opportunity? Well, I'd traveled with Neighborhood Bible Time for 3 summers. And the first year I'd been the teen evangelist, and then for the junior high. The next year I'd been the rally time evangelist. And then the third year I'd been the junior high evangelist again. And I said, you know, really, I think my gift is working with junior high. I think that would be an ideal place to work. He said, that's it. You are going to be the junior high director at our church. In other words, he was saying, whatever you want to do, we want you at our church. I mean, what do you say after that? And I thought, okay, great. So we settled on a salary, and all I had to do was wait until the end of the term, and I was headed to Chicago. Well, I think this was probably like November. So around February or March, he calls me up and says, listen, Graham, we've had a change. Would you be the young marriage director at our church? Now, we'd been married at this time, you know, maybe a year and 2 months. And I said, Pastor, I just don't see how I could come up there. I said, people in that class have been married for years. They have children. Some of them might even have teenagers. And I don't know anything about how could I do that? And in the end, we just decided that I wouldn't go. And then in that gap of a few months before I was going to be through with school, somebody recommended me to Preacher Lastly, and I came up to visit. I drove up to be here on a Saturday youth activity, and as I drove up through the mountains from Greenville, South Carolina to East Tennessee, drove through that twisty-turny part of the road that you don't get to drive through anymore, which I'm glad of, but at the time, it was wonderful. It was about this time of year. It was early May or late April. And as I drove through those mountains, and it was so beautiful and green, I fell in love with Buffalo Ridge before I ever arrived. I mean, I was coming to the mountains, and I said, Lord, this has just got to be the place I'm going. Now, I met Scott Martin right afterwards, and that might have changed my mind, but the Lord had already convicted me that I should come. He was one of the young people at that very first meeting. But I knew the challenge when I saw one, and the Lord worked, and here I am today. Had I known when the pastor said to me, what is your dream job? Where would you like to be in the ministry? I'd have said, well, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I just didn't know it yet. I love you folks and appreciate you so much. This is home of any place on the earth. And so thanks for making it part of that for us. Is that focused right? Is that the best we can do? What do you think, Gary? Is that all right? Mark says it's okay. Yeah, if he says fine, it's okay. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. This is something I've done in our churches as we travel around. I've never done it here. And I'm really running together a couple of programs, but you folks have supported us for years. I mean, you've prayed for us. You have sent us not only, you know, our regular support, generously given, but even special gifts over and over through the years at some critical stage of construction or land purchase or some big project. You guys have come through. I want you to see what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what's involved. This is what I call our philosophy of ministry. You see, church planting and missions is not just, you know, going to the mission field. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "All authority is given to me, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, these are the three things that God tells us in the Great Commissions. He tells us to go and make disciples. He says to baptize them and then to teach them all things so that they can do the same thing. Now, I would like to defend this thesis tonight that establishing churches is Great Commission work. There are a lot of things that are called missions, and there are a lot of good things that are being done. But what I say and what I believe, and this is my conviction, is that to be involved in church planting is fulfilling this mandate from God. The Great Commission is the mission to establish churches. Now, what that means is that missionaries from one place go, the original apostles and the Christians of the first generation, they went to countries where the gospel was not, and they raised up in that church an indigenous, a national church. The purpose of going to Brazil is not to have a church just like our church in every way, shape, and form. It's not to have an American church established on Brazilian soil. It is to have in Brazil a Brazilian church that preaches the gospel, that evangelizes and makes disciples, that baptizes them and teaches them to do all things that Christ commanded, and then to go around the world doing the same thing. The Great Commission is a ministry, first of all, based on this indigenous, or that results with this indigenous principle, that we are commanded to raise up churches, national churches, in foreign countries. Now, a national church means a church that's self-governing. I have a missionary acquaintance. He's with the Lord today. He was in Brazil. He served 30 years in the same church. Now, there are missionaries and there are places in the world that if a missionary spent all of his life getting one church established, he would have done a great thing. There are places in which it is difficult for the gospel to take root because of cultural and other barriers. Brazil is not one of those places. Brazil is not a place that a missionary needs to plan on spending 30 years to get a church established. But this missionary is there. He's for 30 years. He went home on furlough. Another missionary came in and started filling in for him while he was gone, and he assigned the youth to one guy and the music to another guy and the Sunday school to another guy, and he organized a church. And the founding missionary came back, and he took the man out of the Sunday school, he took the man out of the music, he took the man out of the youth, he took back everything to himself. He said, "They can't do it as well as I can." The church rose up and voted their missionary out. They knew it. They said, "It's not time for us to have a missionary anymore. We're a church." And that means self-governing. It means a church that orders itself. That's the purpose of the indigenous church ministry in principle. It's that we're raising up national believers that can do what this church does. This church calls its pastors. This church decides when it's going to have evangelistic programs. It decides how it's going to minister in its community. It's self-governing. It's also self-supporting. Now, this is just a couple of our pastor and wife in our Baduidi church, just to illustrate that we don't pay the salaries of pastors. Now, when a church is beginning, we often are helping them at the beginning. When we started this church in Baduidi, Pastor Zhuang came when there was 20, 25 people, 30 people attending church. He lived in a Sunday school class on what eventually became the first basement of the church. He got a part-time job, and we missionaries helped him while the church was getting established. But once the church is established, they don't depend on American money. We can't have churches around the world that depend upon us forever for money, for funding. It's got to be self-supporting. The people have to take care of their own mission. I think we do a great disservice to national churches when we rob them of the responsibility to take care of their own national leaders. It's so important. And self-supporting also means that their national ministries are maintained by them. Their Sunday school, their maintenance, their programs, etc. And this final part of the indigenous principle is self-propagating. That means that these national churches are capable of carrying out the Great Commission themselves, that they raise up another generation of Christian workers to preach the gospel and establish churches in their country and in other places. There's another principle that we use as a basis of our ministry, and that's the team principle. And just to show you some pictures, don't tell Judy I showed you that one. There's their family. We believe in working together. A team can accomplish more. We have a team made up of the Travers, the Swedbergs, as well as a young lady, Kelly Love. But our team in Brazil doesn't just include American missionaries. The team in church planting is also nationals. We're constantly training. Here at Buffalo Ridge, what do? Almost every service, there's some kind of training program going on, right? That's the point of the indigenous principle. It's part of the autonomous church. And that is the training of workers to evangelize, to counsel, to work with children, to teach one another, and do whatever's necessary. And part of this cooperation and training nationals is that we work with them. Here's a meeting that we held some years ago. Pastor Lucio is on the left in the blue shirt. Wonderful young man. I'll mention him a little bit later. He's already planted a national church as a church planting missionary in Brazil. And here's a meeting of the pastors and national pastors as well as missionaries as we are planning together that national work. And we missionaries were able to contribute financially. The churches helped in building and in sending teams out to work. National mission ministry and the team ministry principle also involves training nationals. We form a team with the nationals in training people. Here's a picture of the student body at our Bible college in Curitiba. Our mission board, Baptist Mid Missions, is part of this team ministry, working together with nationals and Americans. Here's a famous person or two. I don't know if you can see him very well there. Preacher Lastly, they're standing with some of our pastors from our churches. We had a conference, and pastor was down preaching, and I had some of the men stand there beside him from the churches that we have planted in São Paulo. This is another one of my visiting pastors. Churches in America form part of our team. You are part of our team in Brazil. Here's some visiting, a team that came down to work in our ministry. Here's an evangelist from the States who came down. The team came from another city, another place, and helped us with the construction of our church in Carapicuíba. Here's a church from Eastside Independent Baptist in Greenville, building a part of the pastor's residence. All of that to say this, that we're a team. You're part of our team in the ministry. The nationals form part of this same team. There's three principles I'd like to just mention at the end of this part of the message. There are three other principles I think are important in my philosophy of ministry. I'd like you to understand what they are. The faith principle is simply that. We believe God. Now, we believe God to take care of us financially. We don't go knowing that anybody's going to send. We hope you will, Pastor, send the money every month. But in the end, we have to depend on, we can't depend on churches to take care of us because churches will fail. We have to depend on God. It's God that's called us and He has to supply our needs. But the faith principle also means that as we go out bearing precious seed, we believe that results will come, that God will raise up national churches and believers. We also believe in what we call the work principle. And the work principle is a principle I learned a long time ago, but I learned a lot of it right here. I was with the preacher Lastly the other day, and he said some kind things to me and prayed for me before we left. And I wanted to share something with him that I want to share with you. I was on staff here for 8 years. It's funny, it seems like that I was here forever. I mean, it seems like I was here a really long time. But I've been in Brazil now going on 26 years. I was only here for really 9 years, counting our deputation. So a whole lot more time in Brazil. But from the day that I got to Brazil, I never had to try to figure out what to do. I found out that a lot of missionaries go to the field, they don't really know what to do. They have to kind of figure it out. And some of them work with older missionaries, and that helps them to kind of get oriented and know what to do. I joined our team when I arrived in Brazil. Brother Robert Jones and Corrine, wonderful, godly people. I arrived, and I thought I was going to be his assistant, just like I was Preacher Lassley's assistant. And when I arrived, I found out that Bob was going to let me run things. And I said, okay, and I did. And all I did was just pretend I was on staff at Buffalo Ridge. And I just did what I would do if I was here working for Preacher and helping Preacher. And this is the day we visit, and this is the day we do this, and this is when we do this, and just followed the same schedule. And you know, the work principle works. If you put effort in, these are Americans who came down from Greenville, but they're working out there helping with the construction. But what I'm illustrating is this. If we'll just work, if you'll just put effort into ministry and stay at it, then God will give the increase. And I have another one. I don't know what to call this, except it's the stay principle. The preacher used a word this morning in the sermon. I forget what it was, preacher, but it was a good word. But it had something to do with about staying and keeping at it. Well, the stay principle just means you don't quit. And if you stay at it, if you're a bus captain, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a deacon, you're a minister of the gospel in the church, if you stay with it, you get to see long-lasting fruit. Here's a young man in the ministry today. Here's an older man with one of our grandchildren in the faith, because he's one of ours who's now pastoring and raising up his own. We see kids grow up under our ministry and go out into the ministry of the gospel. Well, what I wanted to say to you, though, involves another part of this. I hope it's here in just a minute. I'm going to find it. They have a way of disappearing when I look the other way. There we go. Okay, this is really where I want to end up tonight. By the way, let me finish my story. No, I already did finish the story. Forget it. Now you got your text, okay? Mark, I still think that's fuzzy. I'm going to fix that a little bit. I guess it doesn't get any better. There we go. There we go. Okay, thank you. John chapter 15, verse 16 says this. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. This is part of that last discourse which the Lord had with his disciples in the upper room. And he encouraged them and told them that they weren't there by accident. They were there because the Lord had a job for them to do. And he says, not only have I chosen you to do it, but he says, I want you to go and I want you to bring forth fruit and that your fruit would remain. And that's what I'd like to use as our theme tonight, fruit that remains. Getting involved in something that produces long-lasting fruit. All of you that have been here any time have heard the story of our churches. You probably heard words like Kuchi and Baruari and Carapicuíba and other easily said words. Janjira. And I'm sure that you've read the prayer letters and thought, how do you say that? I don't know. Well, I have a little graph here, a little diagram. I want you to maybe visualize if you can. This is the western side of Greater São Paulo, the city of Cotia in relation to the city of Baruari, in relation to the city of Janjira, in relation to the city of Carapicuíba. Carapicuíba has 300 to 500,000 inhabitants. Janjira is a small town of 100,000. Baruari is about 250,000. Cuchilla is probably another 200,000. Now, all these cities are just, they're one right next to the other. I show a little space there, but Baruari and Janjira are like this, and Carapicuíba is like this, and Cuchilla is underneath all of them. It's bigger in area. These are cities on the western periphery of Greater São Paulo. When they give the traffic report for São Paulo, they'll say the traffic in Barueri, the traffic in Cuchilla, the traffic in Carapicuíba, just like it's part of the big city. But these are all cities in which the Lord put us and enabled us to start a church. We started a church in Cuchilla. We were in Fortaleza. The Lord helped us to get a church started in Fortaleza. But to be honest, I have no contact with the Fortaleza church. It's 2,000 miles away. I don't know anybody there. I've met the pastor. They're going strong. Praise the Lord. But I don't have a relationship with them just because of distance. But these churches that are close to where we live, we do. And the Cuchilla church was used as a basis for the Barueri church. The Barueri church became the mother church for the Janjita church. The Janjita church, part of the founding church in Carapicuíba. But I put underneath here, I wanted you to see tonight, that starting a church doesn't mean that you go to a place and you build a building and put some people in it and go away. Starting a church is like throwing a stone into a pond. There are consequences. There is fruit that comes from sowing seed. And up here, just a few of the circles, and you can't see these very well, and you don't know anything about them, but each of these circles represents another city in which somebody who was saved or discipled in the Cuchilla church went on and is serving the Lord today in other cities. We've got the city, the first one on the left is Curitiba. Curitiba is where our Bible college is, and one of our young men who was just a little boy in the Bible, in children's church when we started the Cuchilla church. He was Nathan's age, and I'm sure he came to church not because the great teacher they had, but because he wanted to play with Nathan and with Ryan and with Jenny. He spent a lot of time at our house. But Evandro was saved in the Bible, in the children's church. At the beginning of our ministry, we had a building that was really nice. I mean, really nice. The swamp water leaked up through the floor, and the roof leaked when it rained, and it rained a lot. There was no glass in the windows. The bathroom was built, except it wasn't connected exactly to anything yet. We had a lot of interesting things happen in the Cuchilla church. And for a while, we had no place for the children to meet. So I took them up on the roof. It was flat. And we put concrete blocks and took the boards we used for concrete forms. And I would sweep them off and put them on that. We'd hang a tarp. And I would sit up on top of there. And all the children, for a while, they stayed with me the whole time. I mean, Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, I had the kids all the time. Well, Evandro was part of that first group. And he trusted Christ, and he grew up, and he stayed in the church, and he went to our Bible college down in Curitiba. Today, he's a pastor in Curitiba, and he's also the director of the music ministry program at the Bible college in Curitiba. He travels with the ensemble. They're great. SP, on the next one there on the left, stands for São Roque de Minas. São Roque de Minas is as far away as you can go without running out of road, literally. I mean, it backs up into a mountain. There's nothing beyond it. It's a city, a little village of about 5,000 people. And a national missionary started a church in São Roque de Minas. And the pastor today is Luciano and his wife, Renata, that were reached in our church, saved in the case of Renata, in our church in Cochia, called to the ministry, trained in our Bible college, and today are pastoring in that little town. The J there stands for Jundiaí. Jundiaí is a little bit north of these churches here. Douglas was a little bitty boy when I led his mother and his dad and his aunt and his grandmother and his grandfather to the Lord in home Bible studies. And Douglas was just, you know, he was there kind of distracting us while we were doing the discipleship Bible studies. But he grew up in the church, and he went to our Bible college, and today he's pastoring in a church in Jundiaí, started by another missionary. The last one on the right there stands for Boituva, and that's Pastor Lucio I mentioned just a minute ago. Lucio started coming to the Cuchilla church after we had already left. One of his first Sundays, he was there. Pastor Josephat, that this church supported for a number of years, was preaching, and Lucio accepted Christ. He had big, bushy hair, wanted to be a professional soccer player. The Lord changed his life immediately. He became good friends with Nathan. He tried to teach Nathan how to drive, and Nathan tried to teach him how to speak English. I don't know which was more successful, but Nathan drives, and Lucio speaks some English, so I guess it worked. And Lucio became a he worked with us in Cotopaxi for a while, but eventually became a missionary starting churches. He's already started one church in Boituva and is now starting another church in another neighboring city. We may go work with him. The Baruidi Church has just been so fruitful of national workers. The first one up here stands for Osvaldo Cruz. Osvaldo Cruz is 7 hours straight west of where we are. It's a city of about 20,000 people. It's a very Catholic city. It's a town where our colleague works, an American missionary establishing a church. They can't announce a week ahead of time that they're having Bible school. They go out on Saturday and canvass, or whatever day they're starting, and the next day they start Bible school. If they give the Catholic priest any warning, he's going to tell everybody in town not to send their kids. It's a very difficult place to start a church. But there is a church there in Osvaldo Cruz, and the pastor is a young man who was saved in our church in Baruidi. Now, his wife is a young lady who was saved in our church in Cochilla. She was one of those kids up on the top, on the rooftop. And their family then moved over to Baruidi. They met. Cynthia met him at high school. And Yuri wanted to date Cynthia, and Cynthia said, I can't date you, but you can come to church with me. And he did. And he got saved. They went to our Bible school in Curitiba, and today serving the Lord in Osvaldo Cruz. The S up there stands for Santarém. Santarém is way up in the north. It's up along the Amazon River. And Huji, who holds the world's record for being kicked out of my wife's Sunday school class more than any other person in our history, oh, he was terrible. You couldn't help but love him. You wanted to strangle him, but you did love him. He was so funny, and everybody else thought so too, and so did he. But finally, the Lord got a hold of Huji, and he got saved, and he went down to our Bible college, and he met a young lady, and now they're serving the Lord up in the Amazon. They're essentially missionaries serving the Lord up in that distant place. It's probably about 2,500 miles from where we are. The other C, next one, circle, stands for Cubatão. Cubatão's down on the coast. A young couple came to our church in Baruidi, and they were new in the Lord. They'd been recently saved out of a very different background. They began to grow, and the Lord worked in their lives. They felt called to the Bible college. By the way, Brother Joe, about every one of these people that I mentioned going to the Bible college, Brother Joe's helped us with our Bible college ministry, helping these national workers get their training. I think that's a good way to invest in nationals, help them get their Bible training so they can go out and do the ministry. Thanks, Brother Joe, for that investment. But they went to Cubatão. Cubatão is a church that had already gone off into a very contemporary movement. They had been without a pastor for 3 years. It was a church known as a problem church. Bob Jones, our co-worker, had started that church back in the 60s. And it had been a good church for years, but over the years, different things had happened. Various pastors come through, and it was in a mess. And when Georgie Ball told me that they were going there, I said, boy, Georgie, are you sure you want to get into that? He said, I believe the Lord's called me. He told the church his position. The day that he arrived, everybody in the praise band joined the choir. And Georgie Ball knows what he's talking about. He used to be a country music singer in Brazil. They call it sertanejo. He knows music. And they all joined the choir. They had a backdoor revival, lost about 18 people, and it's been all gravy since. They've sold the building that was too small. They couldn't grow anymore. They sold that property. They bought a new piece of property. They're building a beautiful now auditorium in the city of Cubatão. The other B up there stands for, what does it stand for, Renee? Stands for Brasilia. Stands for Brasilia. Young man came. His family was in our church already, members. He came to visit them. He was a brother or brother-in-law or something. Came to the church visiting, was saved. Lord called him to the ministry. He went to Curitiba, got his training, and today is in the capital of Brazil, Brasilia, a pastor, gone through some very difficult times, but the Lord has used him, and he's got the stuff, I think, to do a good job. The last one up here on the far right is Porto Alegre. This church supported Roger Crowder for a number of years down in Porto Alegre in Brazil. Roger established a church. The pastor of the church that Roger Crowder, supported by this church, started in Porto Alegre, is a young man saved in our church in Baruidi. Tatiane came to our church. She got saved. A boy met her at school and wanted to date her. She said, I can't date you, but you can come to our church. You see a pattern here. And Wesley was saved. They went to the Bible college, and then the Lord called them to Porto Alegre to do the work of the gospel there. Jangira, the other church there nearby, hasn't produced as many workers outside of the church, but a number of people, mostly the pastor's children, have gone to the Bible college, done training, and come back to work in their local ministry. But also, we just sent our first couple, I say just, last year. They're now starting their second year in training, called to ministry. A fine Danielle and Chris, his wife, going into the ministry from the church, and we expect great things from them in the future. Let me just show you. Here's the map of Brazil. I wanted you to get a picture of where these places are. This is down in Curitiba, Pastor Evandro. This is in São Roque de Minas. This is in Jundiaí. This is in Boituva. This is in Oswaldo Cruz. This is in the Amazon region, Santarém. This is in Cubatão. This is in Brasília. I don't know if I have any more dots at this moment. Yeah. This is in Porto Alegre. Now, this is just a few. This doesn't count the churches in São Paulo. But now, folks, look. Fruit that remain means that when we are involved in God's ministry, when we're following the Lord, He works in our lives. And as He works in our lives, there is an outflowing of fruit in many places. This is your fruit. I think that's a pretty good impact on Brazil. Churches around that are going on, fundamental, independent, Baptist, by conviction churches, taking a good stand and doing the same thing with the young people that they're bringing up. That's the kind of fruit makes me happy. Well, these are just some of the more lines. My wife says, don't tell all those stories. Okay. Well, the Cochia Church is the mother church for the Baruiri Church. The Cochia Church is also the mother church, in a sense, for the Jangira Church, because the pastor from Baruiri was reached and discipled in the Cochia Church. The pastor from the Jangira Church was saved in the Cochia Church. The Cochia Church has had a great ministry. The Baruiri Church supplied our first pastor for the Carapicuíba Church. The Baruiri Church supplied a young lady, not a pastor, but a young lady, who went down to help a church started by a missionary, not of our mission, but a good independent mission board. And they didn't have a pianist. So she was trained in our Bible school and gotten piano training. She went down to play the piano. She'd never met a young man at the Bible college that she, you know, got hooked up with to marry. But when she went down to play the piano at this other church, there was a young man there who felt called to ministry, and now they're engaged. They're not married yet, are they? They're married. My wife keeps me up on all the details. So we have a part in their ministry. The Cochia Church also has had a big part in the Miranchi Church on the western side of Cochia, with several people who have moved out in that direction helping there. The Carapicuíba Church was able to help the Cochia Church when the Cochia Church went through a difficulty. And a couple from our church in Carapicuíba went to the Cochia Church, worked as interns for about 9 months, revolutionized the church, put them back on their feet. And then we've sent a man over as an assistant pastor in another church for a period. And we've been able to help send people over to this new church and help. I'll probably be helping for a little while in this other church, not started by me, but because I'm already out of the Carapicuíba Church, I don't want to go back and take over. I mean, that doesn't do any good for me to leave and then go back and sort of take over again. So I'm going to be a consultant for a little while. I'll preach some conferences and do some teaching for them, but I'll be helping at the other church in the area for a little while we're looking for land for the next work. The Baruiri Church has now become the pastoral search committee for the Cochia Church that's without a pastor. So, interesting thing. One church helping to found another church, God using this church to send out many laborers, and then a time comes they need help. And the daughter church steps in. They didn't call me. They didn't say, Pastor Will, help us. We don't have a pastor. They didn't need me. They went to their brothers in Christ in Brazilian church down the road to get the help they needed. That really makes me happy. I don't really want to do all that work. They can do it. There's churches to the west of us, churches we didn't start, some other American missionaries in the city of Curitiba, about an hour and a half away. And we decided that it would be a good thing that a few times a year get together. We already have our own youth meeting get together, have a tremendous crowd, but occasionally we join up with the other group about an hour and a half away for a bigger meeting, or sometimes there's specific meetings. Just the older young people, you know, 25 and up, getting together, which has been extremely fruitful in marriages. And they marry our kids, and our kids marry their kids, and some of them move out there, and some of them come our way, which is all right with me. Here's the church we left, the Bible Baptist Church in Cotopaxiwa. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." Now, this is God's call for my life. It's God's call for your life. Now, I don't know everything about God's calling for your life, but I do know this. What we just talked about tonight is part of your fruit. And I wanted you tonight to understand what you've done. This is where we've been for the last 25 years, but this is what God has done through you. Aren't you glad? I mean, I think it's about the best thing that could happen. And if I couldn't be on staff at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the Lord had another plan, and that was to be in Brazil. That's part of His calling for my life. I wonder what God's calling for your life is. You can say, listen, He has a calling for your life. And it may be the cancer ministry or the bus ministry or the prison ministry. I've run across several guys saying, "I'm preaching here, I'm preaching there." Praise the Lord. Because that's what the church is about. It's not about coming and sitting. That's fun. That's good. That's great. But the church is called to serve. We're God's hands. We're God's ministers, every one of us. And God says that He's called us and ordained us. And as we go, fruit will result. And not just fruit. Fruit that remains. The thing that says to me, fruit that remains, is that a generation's established that reaches the next generation. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I hope you're encouraged tonight. My purpose in giving this kind of presentation was to encourage you. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What better thing could you ask than to look back over fruit in your life? In the calling that God's given you, He's given you fruit. And that fruit, done for Jesus' sake, will remain and will be rewarded someday at the judgment seat of Christ. As we stand before Him at the Bema, He will reward us for our work. He will reward us for what we've done for His sake. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but He wants us to give our best. Maybe tonight there's someone here and you have to confess that really you have not served the Lord. You haven't got a ministry. You can't think of anything that you've really done for Jesus' sake. Boy, I challenge you to get a ministry. Ask the preacher, "Preacher, what can I do? How can I serve the Lord? What can I do now? At this stage of my life, what do you recommend? What could I do?" And God will give you fruit that remains. Brother Pastor.
Keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed. She's going to begin to play through softly. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe God is challenging you about getting involved here in this church. Or maybe the Lord's speaking to you about getting involved in Faith Promise mission giving. Maybe you've been tithing or whatever the case may be, but you're not involved in giving to Faith Promise missions. Maybe God's dealing with you about just letting go and letting Him have His way. This has encouraged my heart tonight, and I believe it's encouraged the heart of this church. to see how God is using a team to do a mighty work for Him. Part sending, some going, some training. You had a great part in this if you were giving to the mission program. We need to be thankful and ask God to help us do more. I'm praying and I'm trying to pray every day of my life, God will help me with this, that this church will grow. But here's what I pray when I pray that prayer. Lord, number one, help this church to grow spiritually. Help us to become more like Christ. Then help us to grow numerically. And even help us to grow financially. And I try to follow that up by saying, not so people look at us and say, what a church, but just so we can reach more of this lost and dying world. I believe the Lord's in a prayer like that. I really do. And maybe God's speaking to you. We're just about done here, but and I'm going to have you bow your head in just a moment again, but I'd like you to look at me just a moment. This presentation that you saw about these churches and then the lines going this way and having an impact and going that way and having an impact. You know, the beautiful thing about a Christian life is a Christian life should be the same way. My life should be pointing to somebody else that I'm influencing for Christ. See, this doesn't just apply to a church. It does. Powerful presentation. This is mission work. This is the way it needs to be done. This is the Bible pattern. But our life needs to do the same. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You have influence over somebody. And there's somebody that you can be connected to help reach a lost and dying world. I don't know how God's dealing with this. Let's let Him have His way. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take it and bless it in a great way in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and would you come? As Brother Gary sings, come on, talk to God about it. Would you do it?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me,
are bowed, your eyes are closed. She's playing through softly. I'd like to ask Miss Foreign if you wouldn't mind to come and stand beside your husband. If your family, those who are here, Nathan, Becca, your family, if you want to come and just stand right here with your mom and dad, I think it'd be appropriate to surround them and send them off by prayer from this church. No question about it. I'd like to ask our deacons, if you wouldn't mind, if you're a deacon and you're in this service, if you're a staff member, I'm talking about our pastoral staff, if you'll come and just surround this precious family. This is the farewell ceremony, if you will. I think this will be very appropriate. Let's just wrap around them here, get close to them. We're going to ask God to be with them, touch them and help them.
Going back for another term. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Died for me, he died for me, he died for me, he's so good to me. He's coming soon, he's coming soon. Coming soon, he's so good to me. I'm going to ask Brother Graham, his dear wife and family, if you'll make your way to the gymnasium and prepare for this little fellowship. Please stay with us if you wouldn't mind to do that. If nothing else, even if you're not going to eat some cake, somebody say glory right there. Even if you're not going to eat, at least go by there so you can shake their hands and let them know we appreciate them, what God's using them to do. Aren't you glad our money's going to a place like that right there, friends? So praise the Lord for it. Let's ask the Lord to be with them in a great way. I want to go ahead and dismiss those who are in the chili trip as well. If you'll go to the blue room so you can get there and get out quickly so you can get to the gymnasium. If you're going to the country of Chile, and all the foreign family, you'll be dismissed right now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Pray that you bless this food that we're about to receive. Thank you for it. And help this church family, Lord, to grow, to be more like you. And I pray that you help us to use our influence. Bless the foreigners, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please stay with us. Please go to the gymnasium and shake their hands. Let them know that we appreciate them tonight.